Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's now Wednesday night, a time that we join each other at the 8:30 hour and come together to explore the Word of God. It is a time that God has ordained for us to come together to fellowship the body of Christ, being on one accord in the things of God. I thank God for this opportunity, and I thank God for each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedule to join us and study at the 8:30 hour. Well, this is Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, and I'm just a servant of God. And this is Wednesday night. God ordained this Bible study for us. It's for us. No big I's, no little U's. This is our Bible study. And I give God the praise, the honor, and the glory. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And the song title is Justified. But I would say that the title could be Forgiveness. That's why I chose to play that for our Bible study on tonight. So listen at the song. When we come back, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic.
Yeah.
tonight. If it had been for the grace of God, you would have been, you could have been.
Promise to do even more. Like I said earlier, the title of that song was Justified, but I will like to rename it for purposes tonight, and I'm going to call it Forgiven. Hallelujah. It told the story of forgiveness, and it matches up with our for tonight. And at this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace. The opportunity is extended to anyone who would like to pray at this time. If you would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the God of forgiveness, the God of a second chance, the God who has declare that there's no condemnation on those who love the Lord. A God that is with us always until the end and all the way through eternity. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah. The God that is the only true and living God. Our Heavenly Father who has adopted us to be his children. So Heavenly Father, as I come to you tonight, as humble as I know how, I am only a vessel, and I'm made of clay, and I'm brittle. But God, I'm asking that you be able to use me on tonight. Because as you was the potter and you work with the clay, I'm the clay, dear God. And Lord, make me useful for service on tonight. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit give the people the truth of the word and let them understand the lesson that Jesus taught to the disciples that he's allowing us to look at on tonight. Lord, that it could penetrate their hearts, give them a new perspective about forgiving and forgiveness. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God. Well, the title of our lesson tonight is Forgiveness Was Given Freely to Us, and We Should Freely Give to Others. Hallelujah, y'all. Forgiveness. You know, some people say that word, forgiveness, haphazardly or just in passing. But I want you to know forgiveness is a powerful thing. It's a powerful word. And tonight we're going to be in the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter. And we're going to expound on verses 21 to verses 34. I pray that you have your Bibles and you can follow along. So I'm going to give a little background, and of course it's going to be on forgiveness. But I just wanted to say how powerful and necessary forgiveness is. And I believe all of us that has been forgiven by Jesus Christ, by taking away our sins, we are so grateful, and we are so honored, and we feel so privileged, and we thank God for forgiveness, because we would have to answer our debt penalty with no chance of living eternal, because we wasn't able to do anything that could have saved us. But it was the grace of God and the forgiveness of God that we have a chance to the tree of life. And I just wanted to say that because I something so powerful that we are so excited about in our lives. We are so grateful for. How could we have the audacity to not forgive someone else? The forgiveness that God gave to you was given freely, and it caused him a big price, because he had to allow his son to die on the cross of Calvary that we could be forgiven. And anybody you forgive wouldn't have a debt that large that you would have to pay. And yet some people hold forgiveness back in their heart against others. And the sad part about it, when a person make up in their mind that they're not going to forgive whoever because of whatever, what they're really doing is taking the power in their own hands. That's not what the word of God said. So they evidently is making it up as they go to fit their agenda. And I come to tell you tonight, we're not afforded the privilege to be able to make it up as we go. Forgiveness. So I went and looked in the dictionary in the Bible, and they say forgiveness in the Bible is a release or a dismiss of something. The forgiveness we have in Christ involved the release of sinners from God's just punishment and the complete dismissal of all charges against us. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You're no longer condemned. And when we decide not to forgive somebody, we try to keep them in condemnation for your own reason, because you think you could do that. Or you think what happened to you, nobody else won't understand, because that was like the epitome of something wrong. Well, I want to ask you tonight, did they whip you all night long? Did they nail your hands and your feet to the cross? Did they put a thorny rim around your head and blood streamed down your face and you was jugged in your side with a spear? See, we could always make what happened to us look so big. Other part is, we always want to be forgiven. So how can you always want to receive forgiveness and figure you could just issue it out whenever, if ever you want to? The devil is a liar. You see, God graciously forgave our sins. To it be our sins is to be the measure of our gracious forgiveness for others. We all say, people say they want to take on the image of Christ. Jesus forgave. Jesus walked the earth them 3 years, and he was teaching, and forgiveness was high on his lips, teaching us how to forgive one another. Forgiveness was freely given, and freely we should give. That's just a fact, y'all. You see, to some people, forgiveness may seem like weakness, or letting an undeserving person win. Hallelujah. It's not about winning and losing. It's about God. Y'all got to realize that forgiveness is for you. Because a person who holds unforgiveness in their heart towards someone else, many times that person is gone about their business. They done forgot that something even happened. But you are just constantly holding on to something. Forgiveness. You forgive, it's not that you're weak. It's not that the other person got away. First, forgiveness is good for the soul, I could tell you that. Because your soul will be unrest. Because every time you see the person, you get mad. Every time you let a flashback come in your mind about what they did or didn't do or should have did and how they did it, it ruffles your sheet metal. The longer you hold on, the tighter it gets a grip on you. Now, let me tell you something about forgiveness. Because many times, and I'll say in our culture, and I'm going to use it in relationships to, I'm going to use it in reference to a relationship, you know, a husband and a wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, or something like that. So something happened in a relationship, and one person, of course, is upset. And what the person is doing is really not that nice. But many times in those situations, we have been taught by society, not using the word of God, but by society that told us, if you forgive someone in a relationship, that means you have to still be with them. When people ask for forgiveness in relationship many times, the person who decides to give the forgiveness give the forgiveness and the two people start being back together and no solution has been made. They haven't got to the point of working out the situation. The word forgiveness was given, and it was like it was a free pass to be back together. Nothing was ever fixed. Nothing was changed. So forgiveness, when you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that you have to be with them. God told you to forgive. It could be danger to your health. It could be, you know, something against what the Bible says. So it doesn't mean that you have to stay with a person. It means you have to forgive a person. And that's the difference. Sometime in an abusive marriage and a man is beating the woman and he come back every time. He say, I'm sorry, forgive me. And the lady takes him back. God wants that lady to forgive her husband. But he didn't tell him she had to stay there and keep getting beat. So you have to look at forgiveness in the right perspective to really understand what the word of God is saying. You see, many times people are holding a grudge against someone, not willing to forgive them. And often the other person has forgot about it. Like I said, they moved on. But the one who's holding a grudge is like in jail, in the boardroom of their minds. They have shackles on their feet in reference to that situation. And many times they're paralyzed and can't move to the next level. And of course, if the unforgiveness is so devastating, it can cause all kind of issues in your life going forward. So forgiveness is not just for the person who rendered whatever it was. Forgiveness is for the person who received the hurt and willing to release by forgiving. Many times, many, many times, forgiveness is misunderstood. If you had a chance to read the entire chapter, you will note that Jesus was teaching on how to forgive your brother. And when the Bible used the word brother, whenever the Bible used the word brother, it is talking about someone that saved or someone who have decided to follow Christ. So when you're reading and it says brother, he's not talking about, you know, the unsaved person doing you wrong and this and that. He said brother. Jesus is talking about how to forgive your brother. Verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times, Peter said. And Peter picked that number seven. And then Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. You see, when Peter said seven, he thought he was being generous. Because if you read the book of Amos in the Bible, the rabbis taught that God forgave the Israelites' enemies three times. So it was presumptuous and unnecessary to forgive a person more than three times. Now that's what Peter was doing and that's what Peter knew. But Jesus come with a new revelation on forgiveness. Jesus said 70 times seven, meaning innumerable times. And of course he wasn't saying, because if we do seven times seven is 490 times. But rather he's saying every time your brother or sister asks you to forgive them. When the Bible uses the word brother, he's talking about someone in the body of Christ. You see, and they use the number 7, and that's why Peter may have picked the number 7, because 7 is a spiritual number. You see, 7 times 70 just means the ultimate. Take that spiritual number 7 and multiply it by the word 70. 70, you know, God, Jesus was just emphasizing, no, I'm talking about a lot, not lot. He is not your physical brother, someone unsaved or whatever, but your brother in Christ. You see, in this parable that we're going to look at tonight, how important it is to forgive others. If we expect God to forgive us, then we must forgive also. See, God said, don't come looking for things you're not willing to give. And how could you not be willing to forgive someone and graciously took the forgiveness that God gave to us that we could receive eternal life? We are not afforded the privilege to make it up as it goes, to go around picking and choosing who to forgive and not to forgive. And let me tell you this. You know, you can forgive somebody. It could be somebody that was your best friend. You can forgive them. You still act cordial. You don't mean them no harm, you know. But you might not want to continue to go somewhere with them. If they're sick, you know, you still call. See, don't get the wrong impression about forgiveness. You can forgive, and then we always say, but we can't forget. But you could forgive, and then, as we were taught, just handle the person with a long-handled spoon. In other words, don't let them get as close as they were to do whatever they did to you that you thought was so devastating and things like that. So we have to forgive. And it is said we don't forget. But you have the power after forgiving somebody to understand how you're going to deal with that person going forward. It might not be the same relationship that it was, but you forgive them. You don't wish no ill feelings on them. You don't go out your way slandering their name. You don't pray that they go to hell. Come on, y'all. Forgiveness. And verse 23, 24, and 26 says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would have account of his servant. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, he didn't have no money to pay it, y'all. The amount was too great. He stole that amount, but he couldn't pay that amount. And his Lord commanded him to be sold. But watch this. Not just him, his wife, his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. They were going to take what he had that was valuable, put that on the account, and they still had to be slaves. And if they had to work all their life, they couldn't pay it. The amount was too much. So 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And verse 27, and the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. In this same chapter, Matthew the 18, one of the verses say, whatever thou is so loose in heaven, be loosed on earth. See, they're saying he loosed him. See, he showed the compassion. He forgave with heaven. That's in agreement with God. So he loosed him. He loosed him on earth. And that's going to be accounted for him in heaven. He loosed him, the scripture said. Jesus is now teaching in a parable. Peter asked the question, because Jesus had just taught about forgiving, how to forgive, and when somebody do something wrong to you, you go to them and you ask them for forgiveness, but if they don't accept your forgiveness, he said, then get a witness and go to them, and if they don't accept your forgiveness, even after the witness, he said to go and bring it to the church. He had just taught on how to handle issues of forgiveness. So Peter came around and asked the question that was in that verse. How many times? And that's the answer that Jesus gave. But you see, Jesus is now teaching a parable. Jesus is compared to the king in this parable. And the unforgiven servant is anyone who holds unforgiveness in the heart towards others. You know, his case is going to look so extreme, but unforgiveness is unforgiveness. You say, due to the large amount of money involved, he was probably like a governor who owed the king the money from taxation. You see, 10,000 talents represent a large amount of money. It suggested that the value to be in millions, millions in today's market. You see, the talent was the largest denomination of currency, and 10,000 is a significant number. You see, the king commanded him to be sold, a way to recover some of his loss, and to sell his family into slavery. You see, the custom of the land was that if you could not pay your debt, you went to you had to do servitude. 10,000 talents could be an astronomical figure. In fact, it was such a great amount that if the whole family worked their entire life, they were not no way close to paying off the debt. But you see, this is also the sadness of our debt we owed. See, I'm going to take it off of him and I'm going to put it on us so we can understand what Jesus is talking about. That man could never pay that debt back. But the Lord forgave him. The Lord in the parable, which is Jesus, forgave him. That's like us. The debt we had, we couldn't pay. You see, if we prayed every day of our lives, studied the word of God all the time, or even gave everything we owed to the poor, we could not. It would not be enough to pay our sin debt. And that's why we needed a Savior. Because we could never in and of ourselves save ourselves. Our only hope is that Jesus paid the debt for us. And all we owe is to him. And then that's what lets you know what you owe. Your honor, your glory, and your praise. Obedience, growing grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, we have been forgiven the debt. Forgiveness was given freely, and we should forgive others. You see, the servant therefore fell on his knees and worshiped his master, the Lord. But this does not mean that he, you know, was doing it in a religious way. Come on, y'all. Or that he was godly sorry. Scripture don't say that. And we're going to know that he wasn't, because what's going to happen in the next verses? And we know he wasn't in full repentance. But at this time, he was humble and he reverent. And the earnest matter. And he only did this because it was something that he wanted. Come on, y'all. How many people do that? How many times you heard somebody say, they give you an apology and ask for forgiveness? And I've seen many times that people say, she didn't mean it. No, I'm not going to accept it because I know they don't mean it. You know, this guy didn't, you know, do it because he had them found the errors of his ways or wanted to repent and do better towards the next person. I was just godly sorry. He was trying to get what he wanted. It's just so he was dealing with a righteous Lord. You see, he bowed down before him because he was the king, and that was the custom, no more, no less. You see, nothing that this man did or anything on his part, but what he received was pure mercy and free grace of God. And the scripture say, who loosed him from obligation to a punishment and from the spirit of bondage. And from the guilt of sin. The man did it because he had a godly conscience. He forgave him his debt, the whole debt, 10,000 talents. You see, this is the same thing that happens to us. Our debt was so great that there is no way we could have paid it. So Jesus frankly just forgave us freely. He frankly just forgave us. So freely we were forgiven. And so freely we should forgive others. And verse 28 through 31. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now do the math, y'all. And he laid hands on him. I'm talking about the man who had been forgiven of 10,000 talents. He laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell on his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison until he could pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw him and what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told their Lord what was done. I want to let you know, no matter what you do, somebody's always looking, number one. And number two, how soon do we forget when somebody does something for us? That's why the Bible said if you do unto others as you have them do unto you, it would be a pretty decent world. Something simple like that. He had been forgiven an astronomical amount. And this man only owed him 100 pence. You know, that's like a few pennies in comparison. And he didn't. And it's going to show you something else about forgiveness. You see, 100 pence is about 3 months' wages, or some would say mere pennies. Have patience with me, and I will pay you. The forgiven man heard the same pleading he had just gave to the master. You know, even if he wasn't kind of think about it, but when he heard that, it should have said ding, 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 ding. But was utterly without compassion. And he would not have patience with him and give him time for payment. He went and put him in prison. He had him, you know, and the thing is, this is the point I want to make. The man went through the proper channels. You know, plenty of things sometimes we do. We say, if it's the law, I have the right to do it. Plenty of things we can do, and we do have the right to do it. But does it line up with the word of God? Now, that was all right for him to do it, because he went through the court system in a sense. But the man only owed him tennis. And he had just learned the lesson of forgiveness. So even though he could have done it, should he have done it? You know, God has a manual for us to live with. And he did tell us to obey the law of the land. But he also told us never obey anything that exalts itself against the word of God. Remember that. Never buy-in or whatever to anything that exalts itself against the word of God. You see, this is not unlike some rigorous proceedings that goes on with forgiveness and not forgiveness. And many times we have problems in the church building, church fellowship building. And we have to be careful how we handle each other or go against our brethren that maybe have did something to you. And they're not trying to come in and beg pardon and ask for forgiveness, because sometimes people don't even know what they did is wrong. Maybe they should, but not all the time. And sometimes a person may say something in a way, and you take it one way, but they meant something else. They intended for it to be something else. I've seen times when people say, that lady walked past me and didn't even speak, but they don't know what was on that lady's mind. And then we have a big falling out in the body of Christ. If they didn't speak to you, just keep it moving. But they got to fester that. They got to go tell somebody that. And now, you know, they're in bondage with it. So they're not going to let it rest till they get some justice. We got to let go and let God. We really do, y'all. Sometimes people will say something about me or say something. I say, really and truly, I don't care. And I try my best to keep it moving. And I try to make sure if it come back to my mind, I throw it out as soon as I can. In verse 32 and 30 to 34, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thy wicked servant. It got back to the man, to the Lord who had forgiven him what he had did to the other person. So the Lord said, I forgive thee all thy debt because thou despised me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? even as I had pity on thee. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors until he could pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses. That's the scripture, y'all. You see, no one appreciates cruelty. The servant was quick to ask for forgiveness for a large debt he owed, but the small debt his fellow servant owed, he would not forgive. I never saw a person who refused to give somebody never say they hope nobody ever forgive them. They want to receive forgiveness, but they feel they have the right to give it if and when and how they want to. And how many times? Well, I done forgave her 5 times. If it's your sister in Christ and you forgave her 5 times, forgive her the 6th time. That's why Jesus says 70 times 70, which is 490, and he didn't even want it to stop there. He's saying any time they ask. And this is the thing. No, I'm going to say that after this. To get forgiveness, we must forgive. Just as the Lord has forgiven us, we too must forgive our fellow men when they ask. His Lord was wroth because he was a holy man and he was a just man. And that's why Jesus is always angry at sin, including the sins of his children. But he forgives us over and over and over again. You know, when you did 7 sins, now I'm talking about in your whole life, and many of us is old. So can you multiply and do the math and tell me how many times God forgave you in your lifetime? And I'll back it back up. How many times do he forgive you in a day? And you never had to have, you know, you're all right with that number. But you're not all right with the number when you're extending it to someone else. That's selfish. So these verses contain the sum of the moral aspect of this parable. When Christ has explained one of his parables, we are to receive it just as he explained it. That was the gist, y'all. If you want to be forgiven, forgive. And not to attempt to draw spiritual instruction from any part or circumstances which he has not explained. Take it for what you see. If ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. The following seem to be the particular of a general truth. We have to remember that our sins are great and we need a lot of forgiveness from God, and we should be willing to give a lot of forgiveness to others, because whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Freely, forgiveness was given to us. And it was so freely because while we were yet in our sin, Jesus came and took us in. We didn't get right, and then God said, okay, I'm going to forgive you. The Bible said and told us to come as we are, whatever state we were in. And, you know, this here particular thing was talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ, but even other people that's not saved. How can you hold them to a high standard for someone who's been studying the Word of God and know the Word of God and know God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and those other individuals don't? How can you hold them to that same measure? And sometimes you forgive an unsaved person may be the calling card to bring them to Christ. Remember, forgiveness is good for the soul. And that's my lesson tonight. Anyone would like to add a comment, ask a question? They might have, you know, something to say that happened in their lives about forgiveness and non-forgiveness. You can do so at this time. Just press the one button on your phone. And I pray that if there's anyone out there holding unforgiveness in their heart, God say, how can you love me who you've never seen? And you're walking around with unforgiveness and despite and grudges in your heart towards your sisters and brothers in Christ and towards, you know, just people in general. You know, you got to get right, church. And let's go home. Any unforgiveness in your heart, I suggest you handle it. And you'll really see the release that you'll receive from it. Because you don't have to keep visiting. You don't have to keep making comments. You don't have to keep feeling the hurt. Forgiveness is more for you sometimes than it is for the other person. Do as Jesus Christ said, do. Forgive others as he forgave us. And if there's nothing else at this time, we could have the a benediction. If someone would like to do a benediction, you can. If not, I'll just say, I thank God for us coming together, and it is my desire and my prayer that everyone go in peace, and may the grace of God in his sweet community be with you all. Until we meet again. So until next time, everybody be blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God. Oh, the buttons came on. Yeah, Sister Pam, you press your button?
Yeah, I had wanted to say a benediction.
All right, they got someone else too. I don't know if she wants benediction, if she wanted to pray, because we got a little minute. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, Minister Cloud, you press your button.
Yes, I wanted to make a comment. Thank
Give
you for the lesson. Very well taught, and it just let us know that forgiveness is so powerful, but it's also liberating. You did a lesson, I remember, where the paralytic was let down through the roof. And they wanted to make a big fuss of it. But, you know, Jesus was saying, look, could I just say you forgiven or take up your mat and walk? You know? And so it was powerful. And Jesus uses that to show us that you could heal through forgiveness. When you forgive somebody like he forgave them, look, Peter learned the man right here learned a good lesson. Peter asked, should I do it seven times? When he realized that this one man, as you stated, it would have took a lifetime to pay off his debt. So it's saying, look, seven ain't nothing compared to what this guy would have did. So I just wanted to say it was a great lesson, and forgiveness, it liberates you. It allows you to not be stuck in your past, allow you to walk in the present, and allow you to be looking forward to your future. So whenever you have unforgiveness in your heart, the word of God even tell you don't even go to the altar to take communion till you ask for forgiveness. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you for a great lesson on today. And looking forward to next week's title. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. And I'm going to do this little quick thing. So, because I really want you guys to get a definition of forgiveness, because like I said, our culture say, you know, especially with people in a relationship, oh, you forgive me? Yeah, I forgive you, baby. And then they back together and nothing was fixed. I'm going to give you a personal story of myself. I'm going to do it as quick as I can. I was married and I was contemplating divorce, but I was trying, you know, I was in the word of God, and that scripture on forgiveness was beating me that I should forgive him. You know, I should forgive him. I should forgive him. I should forgive him. And I was really wavering. And the reason I was getting a divorce was a reason that's listed in the Bible that says it's okay to get a divorce for. So I was in line with the Bible, but I was stuck on forgiveness. And one day I was, you know, it was weighing me down, and I was talking to the Holy Spirit and praying and crying and talking to the Holy Spirit. No, I wasn't crying. That just kind of came out. But I was talking to the Holy Spirit, and it came to me just as clear as I'm speaking right now. The Holy Ghost told me, he said, I told you that you have to forgive everybody. He's saying, you've been forgiven. He said, but I didn't tell you have to live with him. And that's how I really began to understand forgiveness. Forgiveness is not, you know, that I forgive you, I got to be with you. No, no. It's different. And I've seen so many couples in my life, when they have a bad problem, the man may beat the woman, or the man cheating on the woman, or the woman cheating on the man, or the woman beating the man, because I don't want to be chauvinist, female chauvinist. But things like that, you know, and you see the lady leave and go by her mom, and the man drive by her mom's house that night and say, baby, forgive me. And she said right then and there, okay, get in the car, and she go back home. But nothing is worked out. That's not the way forgiveness works. She could have said, I forgave you because God wants us to forgive us, but before we get back together, let us get some counseling. But if you got the wrong perception that forgiveness means to throw all your sense out of the way about what happened, it doesn't mean that. Not at all. Anyone else would like to say anything? Anyone else would like to add to this? Caller, your number is 65119. Your mic is open.
Oh, 615. Sister Diane.
Yes, baby.
Hey, how you doing, sister?
I'm doing fine, my brother. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on, as you was talking about forgiveness, because forgiveness is not implication of stupidity. You know, forgiveness is for someone to grow and become better. And if you don't grow and become better, then you're not worthy of forgiveness, because it's not, you didn't make a mistake. You displaying the essence of who you are. And if it, you know, the Bible said when you learn better, you do better. And so,
correct.
You know, a lot of times we ask for something that we're not willing to give. We want something produced that we're not willing to produce. And so I like that you pointed that out. And, you know, in the story, you was clear about, you know, the guy begged his master, but then he went right out and then treated somebody like forgetting him. the parables where, you know, where Jesus is always about, you know, forgive and you shall be forgiven. And you said talking about why you need a savior. But the thing is, what we have to get is that once we've been saved, and say we're sin abound, grace even more abound. You know, and you also said something about, you know, to imply that we supposed to live our best self. That's, we supposed to exemplify heaven on earth. And you can't represent the Most High or God if you don't exemplify heaven on earth. Because, you know, it says in our Father's praise, say, on earth as it is in heaven. And so, again, sister, I thank you for what you do. You know, you're consistent and you do it. And I just wanted to just say that, you know, because forgiveness is, we are taught to be robots, to be clonish and cliches. And that's not what the Most High tells us. You know, the Most High tells us, so, you know, that we shouldn't walk around and judge and all. Just let.
Right. Thank you so much, my brother. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else who would like to say anything? Well, at this time, we're going to have a double benediction. So, Sister Pam, I open your mic, and you could give us the benediction.
Good night. The benediction tonight coming from Hebrews 13, verses 20, 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip with you everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen, my sister. Thank you. And as we said earlier, until we meet again, God be with you. Till next week. Good night.
Good night.